Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles, and we find our way to chapter number 6. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 6. We're in our series right now in the service of the house of the Lord. The understanding that everyone has a role to play. And in this phrase, it's used 18 times in the writings of Ezra 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And it becomes a great emphasis that we find along the way that Ezra, as he's writing, is encouraging the people of his time to get involved with the house of God during their time. And we could find this same application. And so we've already been tracing through the book of 1 Chronicles as David has been preparing the house of God and trying to enlist and trying to gather people together for the work of the house of the Lord. Now as the temple has been built, Solomon now comes and he is dedicating the temple in prayer, and we find a long prayer that Solomon is talking with God about. Now, whereas we're not going to directly find that statement in the service of the house of the Lord, what we do find is a concept of the idea that one of the most important things that could be done inside of the house of the Lord is prayer. Prayer is one of the most important things that the people can do as part of the house of God. And in here, let's explore this idea, this medium of prayer, and in fact, look at several times where we can expect God to answer prayer when we talk to Him, especially when we're praying in the house of the Lord. Notice with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and let's pick it up starting at verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "And he stood," that Solomon, "before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high and set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and knelt down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which that keepest covenant, and show us mercy unto his servants that walk before thee with all their hearts, which is kept with thy servant David, my father, which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and have fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so all thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. So then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thy eyes may be open upon this house day and night, and upon the place wherein thou hast said that thou would have puttest thy name, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth towards this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and unto thy people Israel, which they shall make towards this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar to this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do and judge thy servants by requiting this wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, by justifying the righteous, and giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou givest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there was no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them in the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be a pestilence, if there be a blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness be there, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of thy people Israel, wherein one shall know his own sore and his own grief, then spread forth his hands in this house. Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways as long as they live in the land which thou givest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but has come from a far country for a great name's sake, in thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear from the heavens, even according to thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee, for that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, that may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. And if thy people go out to war against the enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee towards this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, that they carry them away captives into a land afar off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they carried captive and turned to pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned and we have done amiss and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and pray towards their land, which thou givest unto their fathers, and towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I have built for them, then hear thou from heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that is found seven different times, and that we can mark these seven different times where we can expect an answer from heaven? Notice with me in verse 23, then hear thou from heaven. Verse number 25, then hear thou from the heavens. Verse 27, then hear thou from heaven. Verse number 30, then hear thou from heaven. Verse 33, then hear thou from the heavens. Verse 35, then hear thou from the heavens. Verse number 39, then hear thou from the heavens. And with the Lord's help, we're going to make the title of that emphasis here, then hear thou from heaven. Hear thou from heaven. And with this, we're going to cover seven different times where we can expect answers to prayer as we pray in God's house. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Lord, as we come to you now, we know that there's a God who hears and answers prayer, that you're a real God, and that you're a God who's big enough to answer prayers. You're a big enough God to be able to search the hearts, to know the hearts of the people, and to know how to draw them close to you. And so, Lord, we're just asking that even now that we can see you high, holy, and lifted up, that there would be nothing keeping us from seeing you from who you are, and that we could hear clearly these times that we can expect you to pray and to answer these prayers that we give to you. Lord, thank you that you've had them listed out. Thank you so much that you worked within King Solomon to list these things for us and help us to have an understanding now that we can be more effective and more expectant within our own prayer life. Lord, fill me with your precious spirit for the purpose that you grab a hold of the hearts of your people, that they can pray more and be more confident and bold within their own prayer lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, as Solomon is taking time to bow himself, he built himself a big scaffold. He's now dedicating the temple. Everyone's there watching. He gets on this platform above the people, and he falls on his face, stretches out his hands, and he begins to pray this prayer and lists these things where he is calling upon God to answer in these seven specific cases. We know that God is going to answer, and we'll prove that here in just a bit, that God accepts these seven things. But with that, let's learn for ourselves seven different times where we can pray in God's house and pray and talk to God and expect God to hear and answer prayers. Notice with me the very first one, when we need a dispute answered. When we need a dispute answered, we can pray and talk to God and expect an answer to prayer when we need a dispute answered. Notice with me in verse number 22. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteousness, by giving him according to his own righteousness. So Solomon begins to address a dispute between neighbors. If one party sins against another, they both can bring the matter before the Lord, and they can trust that God is going to reveal what's just and right. Now, we live in a world, we know disputes happen. And what the problem with disputes is that both people think they're right. How do we judge that? How do we determine who's right? Well, if both people are honest, they can go to the Lord and say, God, can you judge what's right? Can you show us who's right, who's wrong, for the purpose of us taking care of this, for the people that we won't have a thing in between us, that we can make sure things are settled? Well, that's going to be very important, because even in churches, church people can have a big dispute. And instead of letting it blow out of control where two people are now hating each other and they're just staring each other each side of the congregation while the preaching's on, well, that doesn't put a good mood. It doesn't put a good atmosphere. It ruins and grieves the spirit. They can say, let's go to the Lord and let's get this settled. Let's make it so that there's nothing between us. Let's just trust that God can give us the correct answer. And by the way, God can and God will. Verse number 23 shows that God will hear from heaven and judge between his servants, and that he'll ultimately clear the righteous and take care of the wicked. This demonstrates that when conflicts arise, we can leave the matter in God's hands and trust him for a right outcome. By the way, even if we don't have a dispute between two people, you could still do that and say, you know what, I have a problem with an employee or with a coworker. The coworker, I think, is out of their mind. Lord, I'm going to trust you to deal with that coworker. I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to be able to trust you that you take care of this person. If I could be honest, there's been plenty of times where I said, Lord, either you move him out or move me out. But I could trust you to do the work. I could trust you to do something. You could settle it so I don't feel like I always have to live in an area of conflict, an area where I'm just always against someone, or I feel like someone's always against me. I can leave the matter in God's hands and let God take care of them a lot better than I can. We can trust God. Now, this is important because the Bible gives us principles that we are supposed to live peaceably with all men. That's a command. Well, even people who are against me, especially people that are against me, I can live peaceable with all men. Why? I can leave my dispute with God and say, God, you take care of this. If they lie against me, I don't have to fight and defend myself. I could say, God, you take care of it. And God will reveal it over time. God will make sure that it's right. And if I happen to be wrong, he'll point it out to me and I'll fix it. But we can trust God to settle disputes that we have with people. It is something that we can do. We can go to an old-fashioned altar. We can go to the God of heaven. Remember that the local church is not confined within these four walls. You have the freedom and the boldness to go to God. Say, God, I have a dispute. I have an issue with a coworker, with a neighbor, with a husband, with a family member, with a whatever else. And Lord, I want you to settle this. I want you to make it so that way I don't have to feel like I'm always constantly worrying about it, fretting about it, losing sleep over it, playing the scenario over my mind, using this brain power that could be used for something else. I can trust you to work with this so I can live peaceably with all men and have the testimony that I ought to have. I can trust you to work in the circumstances. Isn't that wonderful that we can pray that and that we can live peaceably with all men? Now, again, what's interesting about this is that this is a series of if-then statements. These if-then statements is usually a mathematical term, but it carries the idea that we give a situation and then the then will come in. If this is true, if this happens, this is what we can expect. Well, with each of these, we can pray, if this circumstance is true, this is the result. Then we could hear that God hears our prayers. If this is a situation, then God can respond. So first of all, we have the idea that if we have a dispute with someone, we can trust God with that dispute. We could pray to the God of heaven. We could pray to the God who hears and answers prayer. Leave our dispute with him and let God take care of the dispute however he sees fit. A second thing that we could pray to God and expect God to answer is when we need to get right with God. When we need to get right with God. Notice with me verse 24, we have this next if statement. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse because of the enemy, because they've sinned. Notice, they're not praying because the enemy's there. They're praying because this is a consequence of their actions. Because we sin, there's consequences for it. Now that I see the consequences and realized, hey, I sinned, I'm the one that messed up, God brought it to my attention. Because they have sinned against thee and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before this house. Now, pause. I don't hit rabbit trails that often. But it is very interesting as I'm doing a study next year on the names of God. When we go through this passage in this prayer, how many references we have to the name of God and the uses of the name of God. Here we have the idea that we can confess thy name. Confess thy name. We'll point out some others here. And again, we'll put a bigger emphasis next year. But you know, that's how we could use God's name, is we can confess God's name. What is God's name? He's the righteous one. He's the ultimate judge. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That he is God and we are not. If we confess his name, what does this mean? That means that if I sinned and I messed up, I can go and say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. You're God and I'm sinner. You are the Almighty God and I'm nothing. I can go to him humbling myself, recognizing that I am wrong. Now, this is an important part of confession. You know how a lot of Christians try to confess? They try to confess with justification. Lord, I know that I stole from the grocery store, but you know my circumstances. That's not a confession at all. That's attempting to justify my actions. But when we confess his name, we're recognizing our proper place. God is God, and I am not. I messed up, period. You were right, God. I have violated your law, period. It's the idea of realizing who God is and where we fit in this scenario. And if we sinned, I'm so thankful that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what this passage is speaking about. Verse 25, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again to the land which thou givest them and to their fathers. Now, of course, this is specifically talking about Israel and talking about when they are brought into captivity, by the way, two captivities, and 722 BC during the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrians brought the people and brought them captive. Once again, in 586 BC, the Babylonians took the southern kingdom and brought them captive. By the way, 70 years later, you have a man by the name of Daniel who looks on his calendar, looks at his Bible in the book of Jeremiah and says, 70 years are up. God, 70 years are up. Lord, we did wrong. We messed up. Help us to learn our lesson and restore us back to our land. As a direct result of that prayer, an angel actually came to Daniel and said, hey, thanks a lot because of your prayer. I got to go beat up this guy over here and go put this other guy in charge. Thanks a lot. That's, you know, in the Greek. But, you know, an angel actually said, because you prayed, we're going to go change over kingdoms. Thanks a lot. And so a new empire came by the Persians, and Cyrus the Great said, hey, guess what? Any of you're Hebrew, go home. This was directly answered, and we find that in the pages of the Bible, that when they're set captive and they realize they messed up, they could pray and God would restore them back. This one works. And we apply it today to our house of the local church. If we sin, we can confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That if we sin and we mess up, we can go to God and we can get cleansing at any time. Isn't that wonderful? That anytime we mess up, we can go to our God just confessing, you're God and I'm not. I messed up. I violated your laws. There's no excuse for it. I shouldn't have done it. There's no way I could justify it. Please forgive me. And God says, yes, it's done. And not just saying, yes, it's done, but He cleanses us at the same time. Praise the Lord for a wonderful God who will always hear that prayer of confession. I'm so thankful there's not a time where He says, nope, 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 you just hit your limit. You just maxed out. You're done. Anything you do beyond this, we know we're just cut off. I'm thankful that because I think I would have reached that cutoff a long time ago. Amen. That we can continue to confess. We can continue to ask for that forgiveness. Now, that doesn't give us permission to do so. Well, that confession should carry the idea that I should not have done that and help me not to do it anymore. It's a real confession, not an excuse or justification. But God says when we're honest about our prayer and we're honest about our sin and we confess them, God is willing to forgive us of our sins. What a wonderful God. So we have an idea that if we have a dispute, we could bring it to God and God will hear that prayer and answer it. If we are sinned and we need to confess our sins and need to get right with God, God will hear that prayer and will answer it. Something else that we see is when we need to stay right with God. When we need to stay right with God. Now, this is good. Notice with me verse 26. When the heaven is shut up and there's no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray towards this place and confess thy name, once again, we have the idea of confessing God's name, and turn from their sin which doth afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them in the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain into the people, and given thy people for an inheritance. Solomon goes on to repentance, to the ongoing obedience. Do you know that in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16, many of you have that as a memory verse, it says all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine. That means what is right. For reproof, that's how to get it right. What's right, what's not right. And correction, that's how to get it right. And then instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right. As a preacher, when we preach a message, that's what we're supposed to do, is tell people what's right, what's not right, how to get it right, and how to keep it right. Now, normally, as Bible-believing preachers, we have a good time with the first two. It's very easy to tell people what's right, and it's very easy to tell people what's not right. Bless God, this is what you should do. Bless God, God said, don't do this. That's easy. We're fairly good at the third part, that how to get it right. How to get it right is to go up to Jesus, confess our sins, go up to him, go spend time with him. But we fail to spend time on the fourth one, how to keep it right. How do we keep things right with God? Well, that's a good question, because most of us have found out by experience it's very easy not to keep things right with God. We keep failing and 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 failing. But God never intended us to live from failure to failure, from defeat to defeat. God expects us to live from victory to victory. How do we do that? That's a good question. How do we do that? Quite simple is that realize you can't live the Christian life on your own. How do I stay right with God? God, I'm going to mess up this day. I can't talk to people. I can't spend time with people. I'm not going to say the right thing. Left to my own devices, I'm going to fall into sin. I need your help. I can't do this. You know, God promised to hear that prayer each and every time. It means that when you wake up in the morning, as your eyes start waking up, you hear the rooster crowing or the alarm beating and won't shut up. Before you open your eyes, you can say, Lord, I need your help. I've got a day before me and I'm going to mess this up. I need you to help me. That as we start going through our day, Lord, I can't even read my Bible the way that I ought to. Left to my own devices and waiting for the coffee to kick in, I'm just going to see words. That's all I'm going to do. Lord, I need your help to read your Bible. Lord, as I go to work, I need your help to do my job competently and well, because I'm liable to mess this up if I do it myself. Lord, as I start dealing with people and start talking to people, I'm going to say the wrong thing and I'm going to offend someone. I'm not going to say it clearly. They're going to misunderstand me. I need you to help me out. God, if you don't help me out, my mind is going to wander and I'm going to think about things that I shouldn't have. Lord, I need your help. How do we keep things right? By going into God and say, God, I need your help every hour. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I'm going to mess up. I need your help. I need your help. None of us can live the Christian life on our own. Only God can live the Christian life. We have to throw our dependence upon him. Go to him and say, Lord, I need your help to stay right, because I cannot do it on myself. I'm throwing my dependence upon you. By the way, God promised he would always hear that prayer. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to say, no, I'm going to see how you do on your own. If I ask it for help, he's going to say, good, come here, let's go. I'm so thankful he promised to hear that prayer, that when we need to stay right, God desires not only to forgive, but to guide them to whatever things they go. Notice what else. Another prayer we can expect to be answered is when we need to know what we did wrong. When we need to know what we did wrong. Notice with me in verse number 28. And if there be a dearth in the land, and there be pestilence, and if there be blasting or mildew or locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there shall be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man, or what all thy people Israel, when they shall, everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. When we need to know what we did wrong, we can go to God and say, God, show me what I did wrong. Now, this is helpful because sometimes we see the judgment, sometimes we see the consequences, and we go, well, what do I need to do to fix this? May I remind you that God doesn't play games and he doesn't play guessing games. He doesn't want you to say, oh man, I've got to figure this out. You could cheat and say, Lord, show me. If I've done something wrong, make it clear. You know, God wants you to be right. And he doesn't play games where he wants you to guess and dangle a thing and try to lead you along. God will very clearly tell you what needs to be fixed if you go to him. so we could get it taken care of immediately. We don't have to have things dragging out, including consequences, because God's trying to get our attention. Now, if we're not listening, that's something else. But when we see the consequences and we sense that it's coming because of a spiritual thing, that I did something wrong, that God's trying to get my attention, we can go to Him right away. Lord, show me what I need to be fixed. And God will show you. He will not make you guess. He will not make you try to figure out some mystery sign. He will not give you some puzzle you've got to figure out. God wants you to know because He wants you to get right. He knows that we can't figure out complex things. God keeps things simple. So if I have sin in my life that I'm not dealing with, God will work to try to expose that. And if I'm at the place where I said, I don't know, talk to Him. You say, well, then how would God show me? Will He just open up heavens and then write in the skylines, this is your sin? No. You know how He would do it? First of all, through your daily Bible reading. You open up the Bible and start reading the Bible, and God will show you. You say, well, where do I look? Your normal Bible reading. You don't have to go look for it. You read what's next. This is a living book. God will show you in your normal Bible reading what you need. It is amazing how God does it. You're like, how did God know that I needed this? And it's on the next page. And He said, clear as day, this is my problem. Because God's a good God. He's a wonderful God. He's already has this arranged. He knows at the right time. You know, a second way that He'll do it is through the preaching of God's word. That if you're saying, I need to find out what I did wrong, it just so happens that the next message you hear is the one that you need it. I had so many times, many of you have come up and said, man, God was dealing with me on this, and then you preached it. That's because God knows what He's doing. Again, God will not have to do great signs and wonders. He's going to use His word and the preaching of God's word to show you clearly what needs to be fixed. Hopefully you're listening. Because God doesn't want us to guess or think or try to figure it out. He wants us to know clearly what needs to be fixed so we can fix it. Does that make sense? Now, I'm thankful I've got a good God who doesn't have to play games. And that we can go to Him if we sense that there's spiritual consequences, spiritual thing going on, there's a dissettlement. God, show me in a way clearly that I could understand what I need to do to fix. And God will. Now, again, if you say that and not read your Bible, well, then you're on your own. But that's not God's fault. God was trying to tell you, but you're, nope, can't see anything. But God is willing to show us if we're willing to say, God, show me. I'm thankful for that. What else do we find in here that God said we could have an answer to prayer if we go to Him? When others need to see that our God can hear and answer prayers. Now, inside of the ministry, this is where we have got some of our philosophy of soul winning and dealing with people. This passage here. And so, if there's no other passage that you hear tonight, this is the one I want you to grab a hold of. Because God promised, and I like God's promises, that this situation will work. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger, remember the stranger is someone who does not belong to that congregation. They don't belong to Israel. So in the context of here, a stranger would be a Gentile, maybe a Moabite who comes, maybe an Ammonite who comes, maybe a Jebusite that comes, maybe just an Egyptian that comes, that they're not part of that congregation. For moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great namesake. So notice again, another idea of God's name. So they're coming for the purpose of seeking God. They're coming for the purpose of inquiring of God. They're coming for the purpose of giving a prayer request to a God who hears and answers prayer. But if come from a far country for thy great namesake and for thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for that the people of the earth may know thy name. Here's another idea of God's name, that they may know God's name and fear thee as doth thy people Israel, that may know that this house which I have been built is called by thy name. So here's a scenario. Someone who's not part of this congregation, we'll apply it to us, not part of this local church, says, you know what? I hear that God hears and answers prayer. Can you pray this on my behalf? Can you talk to God on this? Absolutely. And so we can take that prayer request and bring it to God, and God promised to answer their prayer for the purpose of showing them that there is a God who hears and answers prayer. Then we can follow up with that person, and now that they see that God hears and answers prayer, we can go behind them and say, would you like to know this God more? Now that you see that he's real, let's tell you more about this God. That's one of the wonderful things about biblical Christianity, is that we have proof and we have evidence. Have you ever heard some atheist say, prove to me that God is real? I'm glad we can. That this isn't just something we have to twist people's arm or blind faith. We can show them our God is real. That is something that other religions cannot do, is prove that their God is real. How do we prove that our God is real? By taking legitimate prayer requests to God and say, God, answer this prayer for the purpose of showing them that you are real, that they may know your name, that they may fear you. Remember, the fear of God is an emotional response that comes because of a knowledge of who God is. When they say, wow, that God answered prayer, they now have a fear. Now that they know that God is real, now we could show them the gospel. Let me show you, because God is real, the other things that he said is true, that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you deserve an awful place called hell, but that Jesus paid your price. But let me tell you that God loved you so much, he paid your price, and all you have to do is accept that gift. They're more willing to accept that gift because they see that God is real. This is wonderful. You say, well, I'm dealing with an atheist. Wonderful. Say, you know what? I double dog dare you. Let's give a prayer request that's legitimate so God can see that. Now, understand that they may test you, but you know what? Say, all right, God, they ask the stupidest request in the world, but do it in such a way that you show that you're real. Answer something so they can say, wow. You know, God's good. He knows how it is. Whether it's an atheist says, oh, fine, if your God's real, I want a red Lamborghini. Next thing you know, their little nephew goes, Dad or Uncle, here's a car. What in the world just happened here? I mean, God's got a sense of humor, but he'll do it in such a way that they'll go, God did this. What in the world just happened here? I heard of a guy who said, God, if you're real, I dare you to wake me up at 11:11. I want to see it looking at my clock 11:11. Well, he was someone in pain and in the hospital. He went to sleep and woke up at 12:13. He went, so much for God. Well, he went back to sleep, much pain. In the middle of the night, at 11:11, he looked. What just happened? And he remembered that. There's a God that's real. You know, God will do it in such a way that he will show them that he was a real God. Why didn't he wake him up in the morning? Because he wanted them to think about it and remember it. So that way, when he did it in the afternoon, okay, God's real. He didn't do it on my terms. He did it on his terms. But there's a God who hears and answers prayer. And we can easily follow up with people. That's why I said, when you're dealing with people at work, ask for prayer requests. Make yourself available. And if they know that they come for you prayer requests, let me tell you, there's an old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. A foxhole is something that we'd have during war when the enemy's shooting at you. When the enemy's shooting at you, everyone believes in God. When an accident happens, even the most ardent atheist in a car accident will say, please God, please God, not even realizing they're saying it. There's an innate sense. But God wants to hear and answer their prayers. And if you make yourself available, people will give you prayer requests. You better take that prayer request to God. Say, God, they prayed this. I'm asking that you would answer it in such a way that they know that you're real, that they can learn your name, know who you are, and fear you, so that way I can follow back up with them and show, now that you know God's real, let me show you how much he loves you. People will be more willing to hear the gospel when God has already proven himself to be real. That's an answer to prayer. That's something that God said he'd be glad to answer prayer requests on. That's something that we need to take to heart. If you could only heard one point, grab that one. But God promised to hear and answer prayers for that purpose, so that way they can see that there's a God of heaven. There's a God in the earth that hears and answers prayer. God loves to prove himself that he indeed is real. Notice, if you don't mind, another reason or another thing, prayer request that God promised to answer, we find our way to verse number 34. If thy people go out to war against their enemies, by the way, that thou shalt send them, and they shall pray to thee towards this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thee, then hear thou from heaven and their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. Here we have another one. When spiritual war rages around them. Now notice, this if statement has conditions. If thy people go out to war against the enemies by the way that thou shalt send them. This carries the idea that God's the one who directed them to war. God's the one who directed them to battle. For us specifically, we have spiritual warfare that rages around us. We're trying to do what's right, and as a consequence, as we're trying to deal battle with the enemy, there's a spiritual war that comes out that seems to overwhelm, that seems thick, that seems like we can't get through it, that we definitely need God's help. We can go to God and ask God to fight our battles. Notice with me verse 35. Then hear thou from heaven their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. David said, is there not a cause? I'm decided that I'm going to go out to soul winning. I'm going to be faithful at it. And as I start going out it and we're taking the battle to the enemy, don't be surprised when the enemy fights back. And as the enemy begins to fight back and we're trying to do what's right, we could go to God and say, God, help me to maintain the cause. Help me to keep going forward. Help me not to quit. Help me not to buckle under the pressure. Help me not to let the enemy take ground. Help us not to retreat. Help us to keep going forward. If it's a spiritual battle, by the way, and God's the God who sent it and set it up and said, go to war, then this God is also going to supply and equip so that way the battle can be won. We can trust him. Now we're going out there, we can expect him to answer prayer when spiritual battle rages around us. Notice there's one more thing here. One more request that we can go to the Lord and expect him to answer. That when we sin, we can always get right with God. Once again in verse 36. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou shalt be angry with them, deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry away their sins into or their captives into a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they shall return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they've been carried captives, and pray towards the land that thou givest their father, and towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I built for them, then hear thou from heaven, even thy dwelling place, their prayer and supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee. Notice that once again, God gives a promise that he'll hear and answer prayer when we call out to him to get right. He said that before, and he said that again twice. He has made specific mention that if we sin, we can get right with him. Now that's encouraging, because there's several times where sin can beat us up so badly we feel like God can never forgive us. Oh, we messed up so badly, and we don't even try to go to God. We'd rather wallow in our sorrow and our self-pity. We'd rather wallow in our defeats and our failures rather than get right with God. At any time, we can get right with God. At any time. Isn't that a wonderful God that he said you could always come home? You could always come back. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter what you've got into. You could always come home. Always come home. That God says, just come back. I don't see why you're out there. Come back. Come back. Come back. That's an encouragement, because we all mess up from time to time. And there's some times that we mess up badly. And we can mess up so badly that others look at us poorly, and we say, well, you know, others will never get over it. The first person we need to get right with is God himself, and let God deal with all those other ones. But we can never let the place where our failures can keep us separate from God. You ever wonder why some people missing from church, they were here for a while, sin got a hold of them, and they feel like they can't get right. They messed up so badly that they feel like, I can't get right. I deal with people and follow up and just get right. Just get right. Just get right. God will take you back right now. Let's just pray. What would stop you from praying? What would stop you? Even if I prime the pump, Lord, you know that you would take them back if they would just confess. Give them the courage to pray. Will you pray? I just don't feel like I can. But God promised you each and every time he'll listen and forgive. It's not because of us. It's because he's a great God and a great Savior. That anytime we messed up, we can always come back to him. I'm so thankful that's one of the promises of prayer that God said he'll always answer. That if we come back to him and say, Lord, I messed up, he'll always take us back. Now, as a follow-up, Solomon concludes this prayer by asking God to dwell within the temple. In chapter 7 and verse 1, and when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house because of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. You know how we know that God promised to answer those prayers? Because he came down and filled the house and said, I accept this prayer. This prayer is pleasing to me, and he filled the house. So it wasn't just that Solomon prayed this and said, I hope that one day you'll answer this. God confirmed it and said, these things are acceptable. I will always answer these 7 specific prayers when they're prayed by my people. Isn't that wonderful that we have a God who hears and answers prayer? That God has made it so simple that we don't have to live the Christian life on our own. We can, if we mess up, we could always go back to him. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That we could even prove to the outside world that our God is real by answers to prayer. There's a God in heaven who's real. There's our God who is real. And he's just not imaginary. It's not just something that makes us feel better. He's a real and living God who hears and answers prayer. So what do we do about this? Pray. Pray. We have so much to pray for. Even with these 7 things here, most of us can find something on this list to pray for all the time. Whether it's the idea, I need God's help and I need God's guidance. Oops, God, I messed up. I need to get right with you. These people have prayer requests. I'm in a spiritual battle. I need you to help me not to quit and maintain your cause and to keep going forward. We have so much we could pray for because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. We cannot live this Christian life on our own. There's no way, no how. Although if we try to live it ourselves, we're going to live from defeat to defeat to defeat, from failure to failure to failure. Only God can live the Christian life. We just surrender and say, God, you do it. You do it. I need your help. You do it. Lord, I messed up. Help. Forgive. You do it. Lord, you heard their prayer. You do it. You do it. You do it. You see, it's all about God. It's not about us. It's all about God. A God in heaven who is powerful, who is real, and who loves to prove himself to others. I'm so thankful that even today, we don't have a temple, but we have a local New Testament church. These same principles still apply. And there's a God in heaven who still wants to hear us when we pray. Let's go to the Lord together and let's talk to him now. Lord, I'm asking today that you would help strengthen your people up to realize that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And that the idea of your house is so important that you said there are 7 things that we could pray for as part of your house, praying towards your house, praying in your name, that we could always expect you to hear and answer these prayers. And these are good prayer requests. Help us as your people to be a people of prayer, always calling upon you. Be willing to go boldly into the throne room of grace, knowing that you are already going to say yes to these prayer requests. Lord, maybe there's someone in here that's been living from defeat to defeat, defeat. Help them to realize they can live a different way and they can continue in your power as they depend upon you. Maybe there's someone that's been racking up some sin or hiding some sin or feeling like, God, you'll never forgive it. Give them the courage and bravery just to get things right. Maybe there's someone in here that says, Lord, I feel like there's something spiritually wrong, but I'm not sure. Lord, you promised that you would show them in a clear way so they can get it right. Lord, I'm thankful that you're a God who wants your people to be a special holy people, a people who know that their God is real and have the confidence that when we're praying, we're talking to a real being and our prayers are being heard. Then hear thou from heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you hear this prayer even now. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.